Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, so much for joining us on this broadcast today. We look forward to having you go with us through this journey as we face the issues. Let me remind you once again that we face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. I find it antithetical to Christian life when so many people will seek answers outside of the Word of God. Somehow, some way, there are those that feel that you can go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a counselor, or to some how-to book. In fact, a number of years ago, I believe it was back in the 60s, someone wrote a book, How to Be Happy Though Married. And it's books of that nature that many will go to looking for an answer when the answer is already in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. And this is the reason I find it intriguing and challenging and yet such a blessing when we seek to find answers based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That word indeed simply means true, real, authentic. If you continue in my word, keep on keeping on in my word, then you're my disciples truly indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. So the question begs to be asked and answered, what is he referring to as truth? That you continue in my word, that you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Jesus answered that question in John 17:17 when he said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we seek to find solutions, resolutions, answers, and responsiveness to the issues that we're faced with in life based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called having a central biblicist worldview, a central biblicist worldview. And that's what we encourage you to do, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, the telephone number, this is a Q&A program, question and answer. You can join in the dialogue. You can ask the questions. You can enter your comments and statements about the discussion today. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm simply saying today, calling today's broadcast, no apologies needed. No apologies needed. So often the mindset is that as Christians, we need to apologize for our stand, for what we say and for what we do, for our position on the Scripture and for what we say in relationship to that. In fact, many of you know that Franklin Graham, and I'm thankful for his stand in society today, his stand for truth, his stand on the Word of God, his stand against the enemies of God. And Franklin Graham, as you know, several weeks ago, published a request that pastors that would lead their churches for a prayer day, June the 2nd, to pray for President Donald J. Trump. And many churches did so. We did in our church, had a wonderful special prayer service for President Trump. And I pray that God has heard these prayers from across the land praying for our president. But perhaps you read or perhaps you've heard the mega major furor over a Virginia pastor praying for the President Trump during a church worship service on Sunday. In fact, his was not just praying for President Trump arbitrarily and capriciously because the president happened to be in his church. Yes, Pastor David Platt, the pastor of the McLean Bible Church in Vienna, Virginia, acted according to our biblical injunction to pray for our leaders. So what does the Bible really say about that? Let me just read you because it's an underpinning for this broadcast. It is relevant for what we want to say today on this issue. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, the scripture reads this way. I exhort, and that word exhort means to challenge, to command, to direct. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, that's the word priority, the priority thing, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2 says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that means those that are in leadership over us, that certainly includes the president, ladies and gentlemen, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for because this is a good, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3 says. So just at how did this event take place in David Platt's church in McLean, Virginia, the McLean Bible Church in Vienna, Virginia. How did it take place? What literally happened? Just how did this event come about? It seems, and let me just give you, and I've read through many, many, many documents on this, articles about it, and it seems that the president had been, President Trump, that is, had been on a golf outing in that part of Virginia, and because in recent days in Virginia, a church shooting had taken place, and a massacre had taken place. I believe some 12 people had been killed, not in a church, but in a governmental building. And because of that, he wanted to say some words of encouragement to those that perhaps were grieving over the situation. And so Trump felt impressed to stop in unannounced to visit in a local church and say a few words of interest concerning those deaths and to console the survivors. Very simply put, that was the rationale behind it. Now, I don't know in the Trump entourage who orchestrated that. I don't know who came up with the idea of which church to go to. Nothing has been written or said at this juncture about it. But nevertheless, the decision was made that they would drop in impromptu in that particular church, and that is McLean Bible Church in Vienna, Virginia. And so Pastor David Platt was not expecting the impromptu visit by President Trump. Now, I could understand the kind of the big on edge if all of a sudden the president of the United States comes into your church and you need to make a decision on what you're going to do. I could understand that from his position. Therefore, when the president though arrived, there was a few minutes of advance notice. Evidently, they called ahead and told somebody that was there that answered the phone, whoever's responsible, that he was going to be there in just a few minutes. So according to Pastor Platt's statements, they were finishing up the Lord's Supper. And so he finished that, and then, as he put it, went backstage to see what was taking place. And and in doing so, Pastor David Platt concluded that the right thing to do, listen carefully, he concluded that the right thing to do, the godly thing to do, the biblical thing to do, would be to pray over and for our president. I think that's admirable. I think that's what he should have done. He was doing that, and it was right, I believe. He is in recognition of the command, directive in our scripture that we do that. He is obeying the scripture when he made that decision. After all, just look at what God has given us in our president. When we think about praying for President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, let me admonish us to do so. When we think about praying for our president, let me remind us that we need to recognize what all God has done in his divine intervention in placing President Donald J. Trump in office. It is God's divine intervention in November of 2016 that gave us President Donald J. Trump. One of the folks in the upper echelon of the FBI said that no way Trump could win, that Hillary Clinton was going to win 1 to 1, 1 to 0, I think was his statement. And that was the attitude. That was the idea. All of the polls had said that he was not going to win. But ladies and gentlemen, God is in charge of the affairs of man. And even though the polls said no, even though the human odds said no, Donald J. Trump was elected president of the United States of America. And may I just tuck in this little thought, ladies and gentlemen? Thus far, even though he's been hounded by the media, even though he's been there's been an attempt by an official coup to overthrow President Trump's official election, though there's been radical shadow government activities through operatives taking place, he has gone through the past 2+ years doing what he said he would do. What has he done? President Donald J. Trump has given us 2 conservative Supreme Court justices, ladies and gentlemen, and that is a huge deal if you want to think of it that way. He's building the border wall as we speak. His policies have given us a roaring economy. Unemployment is at the lowest level in, some have said, about 40 years. He moved our U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, the biblical capital of Israel. President Trump has, if you please, stopped the has been in support of the religious liberties, and he has stopped the IRS from preventing religious liberties and the freedom of speech. By executive order, ladies and gentlemen, he canceled the 65-year policy of the IRS that frightened so many pastors into being silent in the pulpit about anything called political issues. President Trump stands for life and not for murder by way of abortion. President Trump stood for defending us against Planned Parenthood by partially defunding it, and still I pray that he'll continue the defunding process. President Donald J. Trump is well on his way of defeating the Islamic jihadist, not just in America, but around the globe. He has pushed for, and we're now having a gas and energy abundance sufficiency in America without depending on Saudi oil or Iranian oil and products of that nature. So what are the what are we talking about? Not only did Pastor David Platt do the right thing in praying for our president, which is biblical, but he simply based it upon what the scripture says we ought to do. Simply based upon President Trump's stand for America, he was so deserving of that prayer. Now, I'm setting the stage, ladies and gentlemen, because there's an uproar in David Platt's church. There, I understand there's about 13, 14, 15,000 members. I understand that McLean Bible Church, they have, I believe, three, four, five different, as they call it today in the modern church vocabulary, several campuses. But ladies and gentlemen, he was deserving of that prayer. And that's exactly what David Platt did. He did it based on the authority of Scripture. He did it based on the directives of the Word of God. And he was 1,000% correct in doing so. I believe any pastor listening to my voice today, or any Christian that's truly saved, any person that's truly saved, will agree that regardless of the side of the aisle that you may stand on politically, that the right thing to do is pray for our president, to pray for Donald J. Trump. Pray that God will give him wisdom, that God will provide protection and watch over him. So then, just why, after doing the right thing, why after doing the honorable thing, why after doing the biblical thing, why did Pastor David Platt, McLean Bible Church, send an open letter of apology to his church members for his prayer for Donald Trump? I conclude that just as in the book of Galatians, the epistle to the churches at Galatia, the Apostle Paul said, if I become your enemy by telling you the truth. Now, David Platt hadn't said this, but may I paraphrase some thoughts? Perhaps in his open letter to his congregation, he was saying, don't let me be your enemy because I've done what is right. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, no apology is needed. He didn't need to apologize to his congregation. He didn't need to apologize for what he said. He didn't need to backpedal on his prayer. He didn't need to backpedal and to apologize to some that are whining as socialist liberal Democrats in his church. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that is a brief statement by Franklin Graham. The pastor of the megachurch who led his congregation in praying over President Donald J. Trump on Sunday is catching flack from some members who said they were, quote, hurt by this. Franklin Graham said this, I can't imagine anyone being hurt by their church or by their pastor because he's praying for the president in obedience to the word of God, end quote. Further, Franklin Graham said this, Pastor David Platt also included prayers for other national and state leaders. Sadly, we live in a day when there is nothing that isn't controversial, even when it comes to prayer. He couldn't have said it any better. I believe that's exactly right. But evidently, David Platt has got some socialist Democrats, some I call them loose lax lost liberals in his church that happen to be church members. And he's trying to assuage the anger. He's trying to assuage their so-called hurt, as they had indicated to him. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Virginia pastor explains prayer for Trump after some are hurt by it. Now, this is a pretty long letter, an article. I'm going to read two or three brief paragraphs to get the sense of it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about the subject today, no apologies needed. And if no apologies needed, I'm speaking of Pastor David Platt of the McLean Bible Church in Vienna, Virginia, where President Donald J. Trump entered on Sunday and asked for them to pray for him. He was planning on saying a few words of consolation and concern for those that had been, because of those that had been murdered in the government building, I believe it was in Richmond, just a few days earlier. And as a result of that, a whole furor now is set off, a fire is raging, internet's being burned up, and there are a whole variety of philosophies and feelings on this. Some are blaming Platt for praying for the president. That's some of the enemies from within. But here's the article. Virginia pastor explains prayer for Trump after some hurt by it. The Northern Virginia pastor who prayed for President Trump on stage after an unscheduled visit Sunday explained why he did so, acknowledging some, this is the pastor's statement, some within our church are hurt that I made that decision, end quote. David Platt, McLean Bible Church pastor, told the congregation in a statement that, quote, his aim was in no way to endorse the president, his policies, his party, his politics, but to obey God's command to pray for our president and other leaders, as mentioned in the Bible. While the megachurch was not one of the churches that joined Franklin Graham's special day of prayer for Trump, Platt acknowledged it from the platform, adding, we don't want to just do this on Sunday. We want to do this continually, day in and day out. Further than this article says, the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board, who has said churches should focus on Jesus Christ and not nationalism, said, quote, so in that moment, I decided to take this unique opportunity for us as a church to pray for him, that is the president, together. For a variety of valid reasons, the pastor explained, some were hurt. Now, he says, for a variety of valid reasons, the pastor explained, some were hurt by Platt's decision, and that weighs heavy on my heart, says the pastor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but if I'm doing what the Word of God says is authentic, if I'm doing what the Word of God says I ought to do, if I'm preaching and teaching and praying according to the Word of God, I don't want an apology to anybody if you're hurt. I don't want an apology to anybody if you say my feelings were hurt. And David Platt goes on to talk about in one of his articles that his church has a representation of over 100 nations represented in his church family. He says, including all kinds of people with varied personal histories and political opinions from varied socioeconomic situations. He says, it's clear in our church that the only reason we're together is because we have the same King Jesus that we adore, worship, fear, and follow with supreme love and absolute loyalty, and his name is Jesus. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's his philosophical rationale. But I want to know how in the world can anybody that claims to be saved object to their pastor praying for the president of the United States, our president. He's our president. He's the leader. He is elected by the people. He's elected by a majority of the Electoral College vote. He is the authentic leader of our nation, and he ought to be prayed for as the Scripture directs that we do. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and answered, what is wrong? Why would any real Christian object to praying for our president? Here is one response that I think that I believe kind of summarizes it. Here's an individual, I don't know him, his name is Graham. He's not Franklin Graham, but he's comes from the Blaze staff. Graham Allen roast critics of pastor who prayed for the President Trump on stage. What kind of Christian would get so upset about praying for anyone? His lead line says. On Tuesday's episode, Rant Nation, host Graham Allen had a few harsh words for critics of David Platt's, the pastor who prayed with President Donald J. Trump on stage following the mass killing in Virginia Beach. The pastor who prayed for our president has come under fire because apparently Christians within the congregation were horrified that he would pray for the president. Graham said, what kind of Christian would get upset over praying for anyone? Let me explain something to you, he continued. Whether you're a Christian or not, our president is the leader of our country. Think of it as an airplane, he says. I like this illustration. He's the pilot. We're sitting on the plane, and it's called America. If you don't support the president, you don't want the president to succeed, that's like wanting the pilot of the plane you're on to crash the freaking plane, end quote. Graham added that any Christian who would complain about pastor praying for someone they don't like politically has no idea what being an authentic Christian is really all about. I say amen and second that. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Pastor. You know, it's interesting. The other day I saw a very short video of that pastor praying for the president. And I wanted to call you because I thought you would be the one who knew who that pastor was. And here you are talking about it. And I just thought that that was a real blessing to see that pastor pray for the president. And I hope that the Lord blesses that pastor.
Amen. Thank you so much for that comment. You're exactly right. I commend, openly commend, regardless of your political persuasions, your political party, your political affiliations, et cetera, I commend David Platt for his public prayer for our president. That was the commendable thing to do. That was the commanded thing to do. That was the thing that the scripture says that we ought to do, and he was in obedience to that. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that he's listening to the aberrant voices in his church. I've said privately, I believe, that he has some of the numbers, nickels, and noses that are threatening him and his from his congregation. You know, I've said for many, many years, if a pastor is not free to be obedient to the Word of God, the voice of God, the Scripture, and be obedient to what the Scripture says, if he is afraid of what someone will say based on what he prays, based on what he says, based on what he preaches, he needs to resign and get out of the ministry. Anything other than that is simply a hireling, my scripture says. My scripture says if a shepherd is the shepherd of the flock, he's not going to run when the enemy comes. If he is not the shepherd, he's a hireling. And my Bible says when the enemy comes, he will flee. And so I'm concerned for David's willingness to, as I'm calling it, some have called it an apology, some have said it's not. I call it a backdoor left-handed approach to an apology, not an open, I'm sorry. But he's trying to assuage the anger of many in his congregation for what he did. And I think that is uncalled for, unnecessary, and ought not to be done in that fashion. I believe that he needs to take a stand and say that if you are against what I've done, tell your problem to God, not to me, because I'm obedient to the Scripture. And that's exactly what David Platt did. But the question begs to be asked and answered again. What is the answer to this? What is the solution? Well, I believe Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, has pretty good insight politically, socially, economically, and I believe that he has hit the nail on the head. He's hit the bullseye on target. Dr. Jeffers says, this is not about politics. It's a battle between good and evil. It's not about conflict between the president and the media. It's a battle between God and Satan, end quote. Further, Dr. Jeffers says, the left have been on the crusade to turn America into a godless, secular nation, and with their liberal judges, they have banned Bible reading. They have approved murder by abortion. They have promoted the LGBTQ agenda. They have removed the crosses as much as possible across the nation. They are tearing down our national monuments. He further says, now because our president, because President Trump and the socialist liberals are frightened to death over the potential overturning of Roe versus Wade, they are determined to remove President Trump, end quote. That's from Dr. Robert Jeffers, and I believe he's exactly right. That's what you see happening in the McLean Bible Church in Vienna, Virginia, where you've got some of the rank liberals. If you're as David Platt said, his church represents over 100 nations, and if that is the case, you've got, without any question, some loose likes lost liberals, some whiners that do not like Donald Trump, that are perhaps the Never Trumpers, or perhaps those that are in agreement with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, that somehow they need to overturn an officially elected president. But rather than being on board and praying for the pilot, somehow, some way, there are multitudes just wanting the pilot to die or to eject and crash the plane. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or the comment, please.
Yeah, good morning. A few comments. In biblical days, the church, the congregations were admonished to pray for Nero, who's far worse than anyone we've seen, similar to Stalin, Hitler, etc.
That's exactly right. And you see, I've said for years that we had President Barack Hussein Obama, that I still believe was an illegitimate president, but that's just my personal opinion. But we still were admonished to pray for him. And I tell folks all the time I did. And my prayer was, God, remove him. I don't mind anybody
and
knowing that was my prayer.
Brother Youngblood, what I hate to say this, but David would say, all right, to assuage your problems with me praying for Trump, we'll pray for Nancy Pelosi and see if that calms him down.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi said she prays for our president. I'm sure she does. She probably saying, God remove him. But nevertheless, that's what she said publicly.
She prays on him.
She does. She prays on him. That's a good comment. Yes.
You know, Lon Solomon used to pastor McLean, a Jewish believer.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, and he has his own radio programs. But, you know, this is just the way society is going. But things aren't falling out of place. They're falling into place.
Based on God's agenda for this old world, brother.
Hallelujah, exactly. And amen. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about no apology needed. If you're standing for truth, ladies and gentlemen, if you're standing for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we're standing on solid ground. And may I remind us, we need to continue to stand on solid ground. Pray for David Platt. I'm sure he's being attacked, whether it's openly or subtly, by some of those lost church members that are aligning with the leftists there. And anything that you find in Northern Virginia is the bedroom for Washington, D.C. And you couldn't find any greater rancorous attitude toward President Trump than those right there in the Beltway. And he's in that area. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe Christians must stand up for President Trump. I believe we need to stand holding his hands up, praying and asking God to bless him and to use him. It seems, ladies and gentlemen, that our pulpits, we must speak out on these moral issues. Let me just simply say this, ladies and gentlemen. Back in the early 19th century, in his writings, Charles Finney wrote about the decay of conscience, the decay of conscience. This is what Charles Finney said, and may I close us with this broadcast today with these statements. Charles Finney said, if there's decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the press, public press, lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is denigrate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray that David Platt will, and I'm going to just arbitrarily and capriciously say this, I'm praying that he grows a backbone strong enough to say to his congregation, I've been obedient to the Word of God. I've been obedient to what I'm to do as a Christian. I've been obedient to what I need to do in leading you. I was obedient to what I feel God would have me to do when President Donald J. Trump came to our congregation. Therefore, I make no apologies. I will not bow or bend. I will continue to take that stand. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's the pulpits today that must take a stand. I believe that pastors need to grow a spine, a backbone, that we need to stand for truth. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. We need to stand for what God's Word says without apology, without favor, without fear, and simply keep on standing. The left is on a crusade today to destroy our president. As Christians, we must pray for President Trump that God will give him wisdom and protection as he leads our great nation. Thank you so much for joining us in this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.